Let's turn in God's Word to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 39. We'll read the whole chapter. Romans 8, verses 1 through 39, beginning in verse 1. These are the words of the Lord, so let's give our attention to them, for they are His words. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do not do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature is made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those are God's words. We have, in Romans so far, we have heard our need of salvation in Christ because of our sin. In union with Adam, we having been justified by faith in union with Christ, we also have seen our need for sanctification. To be cleansed of our sin, in other words, which takes place in that great battle with our own flesh and passions and the Holy Spirit who works within us by His Word. But now we receive, as coming to chapter 8, we receive full consolation. Those who are children of God, those who are in Christ, find comfort in Him and in His promises. As many of you know, this is one of the most comforting chapters in all of Scripture. Through verse 28, we see the many blessings and privileges that come with being a Christian, being justified, a follower of Jesus Christ. The ground of all our assurance laid in the eternal love and the doctrine, the eternal love of God in the doctrine of predestination, verses 29 and 30. And then to the end of the chapter, exalting in the great victory all of God's children have in Christ, never to be separated from Him and from God. Consider the promises, beloved, in the chapter that we love to hear, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We see the privileges of adoption in verses 14 through 22. We won't read all of that again. To be called sons of God and call God our Father. We have a great heavenly and perfect Father. And we have help in prayer. When we don't know how to pray, verse 26, the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. In great affliction and struggle, verse 28, we are reminded that even in the midst of great struggle, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called, who are the called according to His purpose. And being victorious in Christ, nothing can separate us from His love. If He died for us, which is shown by our faith in Him, that we cannot therefore be separated from Him. Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, that is nothing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, and which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And children, all of you here as well, you are called to come unto Christ today, that we too can be comforted and have these assurances and comforts forever. And this is what we have because of our God who has eternally loved us or foreknown us. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we are thankful for this chapter, often for many of us who have been Christians for a while, for a time There have been seasons and circumstances in which if this scripture wouldn't have been in the past or in your word, we might not know any comfort. We might be a little lost and having no hope. But we're thankful for this word, though there are many promises and comforts throughout all of the scriptures. We're especially thankful for this chapter that you seem to provide for us in a great context of those who are justified and sanctified. And now hearing of the great adoption we have in Christ by your grace. Our Father, we're thankful for the gospel by which not only are we saved from our sins and delivered from them, even from slavery to sin, but even as we've heard in the morning sermons about Satan, who once, for those who are justified, once we were children of the devil, of our father, the devil, the great murderer from the beginning. And so when we are saved from our sins, justified, and now adopted into your family, we have a new family, we have a new father, by which we can even cry out to him in prayer, Father, our Father. What a great privilege to have a new father, and not a father who's a murderer. But even as we will hear in the passage in Judges today, a father who is the God of life. And Father, we ask that you would bless us in our hearing of you again. To know that you are a God who has eternally loved your children, even so much to save us from our former father, Satan, the great adversary. And Father, we acknowledge there may be some here who are still of their father, the devil. We pray for them that you would turn them and storm the gates of Hades and win another soul unto you. Those souls which you have eternally loved and did predestine to be yours, to walk holy lives after Christ. We pray that you would justify them. So send your Spirit and do so. Change their hearts and grant them faith and repentance that they would be truly justified and credited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, your Son, and be brought into your family and be cleansed of their sin, so sanctified. Now one day we will be glorified, and we look in hope of that day, for we struggle in this life, often downcast in our soul over our sins, over our failings, over our frailty. And yet you're the God who will bring us to glory and make us, and even in our souls, perfectly holy and blessed. And so we look forward to that day, even today. And as we continue looking forward to that day, we would be wrong to not pray and seek for your help. As we depend upon your Spirit in prayer, we ask for your help with our nation. Our nation, even from the beginning, as we have perhaps considered something that hasn't happened in quite some time, not even in any of our lifetimes. When we consider back to our nation's parents, the kingdom of a nation of Great Britain, and how the Queen, who has reigned for many years, has died, and now there is a new king. And Father, we have come from them, and they still are, under a covenant, the solemn leading covenant. And they committed to even the kings at that time, and then the queen, She is under that. She was under that. And now the king, King Charles III, is under that duty to keep that covenant. To keep the covenant that Christ the King is their king. And to rule under His authority alone. And yet, Father, we have seen centuries and many kings and queens go and depart from that way. And Father, we pray now for King Charles III, that he would be faithful and he would turn unto you in faith for his salvation. We know that just looking at his life outwardly, way from over here in America, and just looking at history, he is a wicked man. And yet, Father, we pray that you would change his heart and that he would call all the kingdoms under his supposed rule, that he would call all kingdoms to come to Christ. And as that daughter nation of them, perhaps rebellious, and we shouldn't have been rebellious, but Father, we ask even in that, when we made our constitution, we failed as a nation, that we did not make Christ our King, or declare Him to be so, but rather we made people, the people, King. And we have seen what that does. We have seen the wickedness grow and grow and grow when man is King, which we'll see much more of in the book of Judges, as we see them Israel doing evil in the sight of the Lord again, even today, in Judges 13. And Father, we ask that you would turn this nation back to you and they would covenant with Christ and form a new constitution that claims Christ is King and allegiance to Him alone, that we would not pledge allegiance to any flag but to Christ alone, and that we would turn our hearts to you. Our Father, turn our lawmakers, our politicians, all these civil rulers to worship at your footstool, to bow the knee before you, and to call Christ King and covenant with Him. I pray they would rule according to your law, your word alone. And Father, we ask now as we consider worshiping you, we also pray for those here amongst us who need your help today. We've already prayed for some this morning. We pray for Phil. You continue healing his leg, his knee, and his leg, his feet, walking, all these things, is going through physical therapy. We pray that you would give him strength and quick healing. We're thankful that he's young still, whereas this healing can be quicker. We pray that you would bring it about as quick as possible for the sake of him and his family. We ask also for Lee, who is with us this morning, knowing that her water has been turned off because the city has seen it to be too lazy to fix her pipes coming into her house or where she lives. And we're thankful that her son's caring for her and they have bottled water and that whatnot. But Father, we pray that you would be with the city, that they'd be able to fix that tomorrow, as soon as possible, Lord, for her sake. And Father, we ask that you would, we see it's so laughable how the city government would exalt in the football or the Chiefs game today, and they would not work for the great health and for the care of older citizens. But Father, they would rather exalt in football than keep the Sabbath day. Even as you teach us that physical mercy in Isaiah 58 is necessary on the Sabbath day. And Father, we pray for her and pray that you would provide for her clean and good water. Father, we ask for our presbytery. We give praise for the presbytery meeting we had Friday and the examination of the man called the Laramie. We pray that you would be with him as he passed his exams and as he's ordained and installed in Laramie, that Laramie congregation, that you pray that you would make him be faithful and to be one who pleads pleads for souls to be saved and to turn unto you, to your truth, and to worship you alone. Pray that you would strengthen him against many attacks that will come in his life. And pray for the same for the man who is ordained, Robert Kelby. And we ask for his, that you would sustain him. And you would give him strength and give him much fruit according to your word, not according to man, in that congregation in Manhattan. And we pray for the other congregations who need pastors in Colorado Springs and Houston and San Antonio. We pray that you'd provide for them and you'd bless them with a consistent preaching ministry from a pastor that would be called. Call godly men, faithful men who preach your word and not tickle ears. And Father, as now we continue worshiping you, we ask for your help. As we come to sing your word again and sing of the Savior, keep us from the distractions and temptations that come. And Father, we ask that the devil would have no place here, but this would be a place of protection against him and all evil. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.